96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When it comes to finding out about health risks, are you willing to take the test? Well, more and more Black people are considering genetic testing, but what is it and why are they doing it? Well, joining me to talk about it on this Medical Monday is Nicole Thompson. She's a genetic counselor with the Howard University Cancer Center Genetic Program. If you have any experience with genetic testing, if you've had it done, or if you are considering it, we want to hear from you tonight. And if you certainly have any questions, we certainly also want to hear your questions. Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldTFisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Nicole, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk first of all about some of the basics. What is genetic testing? Sounds science fiction-y.
Right. Yeah. So genetic testing takes place on several different fronts. Primarily for cancer, it's meant to determine if a person's cancer is actually hereditary. So some cancers may be just spontaneous, just random. Actually, that's the majority of cancers. The older we get, the higher the chances are that we'll, you know, develop cancer. One in eight women will actually develop breast cancer. Some cancers are also environmental or lifestyle based. So heavy smoking, drinking can all increase the risk of cancer in several types. But 5 to 10% of cancers are also known to be hereditary. So that's where something is going on at the genetic level that's increasing the risk or predisposing someone to cancer. So genetic testing is meant to identify those individuals and families to find out if they actually have a genetic mutation. Because if they do, then they may have a higher risk of getting cancer at a younger age. Mm-hmm. And if we can find out they actually have a mutation, then we can offer screenings at a much earlier age.
Is this primarily something that is related to breast cancer, or does it apply to other kinds of cancer?
It does. It applies to other types. So the primary cancers that are known to be hereditary are breast, ovarian, prostate, uterine, colon, thyroid, and some types of skin cancers. Mm-hmm. So it spreads across the gamut.
Now, here's the thing that's kind of interesting, because as we've heard over the past several years or so, we've had some, you know, high-profile people, for example, Angelina Jolie, mm-hmm. who found out that she was genetically predisposed to breast cancer.
Right.
And so, of course, she's had, the double radical mastectomy.
Right.
And she believed that she was saving her own life.
Right.
Is that what you're finding when these tests come back?
So there are various options, and it's on an individual basis. So the primary three options are, if you come back positive for a mutation, specifically in the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, you're at an increased risk for breast or ovarian cancer.
Now, BRCA1 or BRCA2, help me
exactly.
with that.
Exactly. So it's the BRCA1 and BRCA2. So it stands for, the BR is for breast, the CA is for cancer, one gene, and then the BRCA2 gene. These genes are genes that we all have, and their job is to protect us from getting breast cancer and ovarian cancer for men, for male breast cancer and prostate cancer, and also pancreatic. So these genes work in our bodies to protect us from those cancers. But if they're mutated, meaning that they're not working, then we then have a higher risk to get cancer. And for women, the risk can be upwards of 87% chance to get breast cancer, 44% chance to get ovarian cancer, and I think about an 8% chance for men to get breast cancer. Hmm. And so with these high risks, there are options for women and men to try to, you know, decrease their risk of getting cancer. So one of those options is increased surveillance. So rather than waiting till you're 40, 45, or 50 to have a mammogram, you can start at 25 years old. Also the same for your ovaries. Rather than waiting to get your pap smear, instead of just getting only a pap smear, you would add ultrasound to look at your ovaries and make sure that they're functioning properly and that there aren't any growths or any abnormal findings on your ovaries. The second is medications. So there are medications that you can take to reduce your chances of getting cancer. And a third is actually preventive surgery, which is what Angelina Jolie chose to undergo, and that's removing the breast, and you always have the option of reconstruction, and then also removing the ovaries, and that's recommended by age 35 because ovarian cancer is very hard to detect, and by the time it is detected, usually it's advanced stage.
Wow. So 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about genetic testing. More African Americans are considering it to take a look at their health history and health risks. Lines are open, so you can definitely give us a call. Let me go to Erica, calling from Northwest D.C. Erica, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I would actually consider genetic testing. The only concern that I have with doing it prematurely or just even considering getting it done is just the prejudice against the insurance company if you're found to have some type of genetic mutations that is, there's a possibility of it happening in later down the years of the discrimination against, you know, that the insurance companies will have.
That's actually an excellent point. So when it comes to cancer, there are actually protections against that. So check out the GINA Act, Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. I believe it started in 2008 or 2009, but it basically, you know, states that employers and health benefits cannot discriminate based on genetic information. But when it does come to long-term care and all those things and other types of genetic conditions like Huntington's disease or other diseases that are more debilitating, there are different policies and it's based on each state. So each state has different regulations. But when it comes to your health benefits and employers, they cannot discriminate based on genetic information.
And wasn't this part of the President's Affordable Care Act and one of his major initiatives?
Right. So even with that, with the Affordable Care Act, which has been wonderful, it's under one of the 22 preventive services that are covered for women. So there's no copay if you're covered under the Affordable Care Act. There's no coinsurance. You don't pay for your testing. It's completely covered. Mm. So that's definitely an excellent point.
And one more question for Erica before I let her go. If you are not under the Affordable Care Act and you have employer-based private insurance, is it covered or is that something you would have to check with your insurer? How does that work?
It is covered. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the question. I'm not 100% positive. I would think that I would have to expense that I would have to bear myself.
So no. So if you meet certain criteria, there are different things that we look at. For one, there's NCCN guidelines. So that's National Comprehensive Cancer Network's guidelines. It's what healthcare professionals in oncology use. If you meet their criteria, you should meet your insurance company's criteria for testing. If you meet NCCN guidelines, that means that it is medically necessary for you. Because if you find out that you're positive, then of course it may cost the insurance companies more money to care for an individual that actually is diagnosed with cancer rather than trying to prevent it on the front end.
Okay, Erica, good luck to you, and thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about genetic testing in African Americans, more and more African Americans considering it as they explore health risk, personal health risks, as well as family health history. Let's go to William, calling from Southwest. William, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. My question is, how do the recommendations align with the new guidelines supported by the FDA? They lean towards women not having to get testing.
From the FDA?
I believe it was the FDA, correct.
Getting genetic testing?
Well, no, I'm sorry, not genetic testing. I understand this is about genetic testing, just testing in general. There was a report a couple of weeks ago. The FDA came out with new guidelines for the doctor.
excuse me. You're talking about testing for breast cancer?
Correct.
That was not the FDA. That was the American Cancer Society.
Right.
And they adjusted their recommendations from 40 to 45.
35.
But please, go ahead.
Oh, for getting a mammogram.
Yeah, for mammograms, exactly.
Right. So that's a bit separate. That's separate. So anyone that's diagnosed with cancer age 50 or younger is an excellent candidate for genetic testing, or anyone that has a relative diagnosed with cancer age 50 or younger, or if they have multiple relatives diagnosed. And actually, I went to a talk at University of Maryland earlier today, and they actually were speaking about the FDA and that they're actually changing their guidelines to include genetic testing. They're tailoring them to increase the regulation of genetic testing because there are a lot of different things going on in different places. So they're trying to actually regulate that.
And let me say this also, William, before I let you go. One of the things that I think the subsequent discussions about the American Cancer Society that came out, certainly I'm not a doctor, but when it comes to mammograms for African-American women, lots of doctors considering the additional health risks that face black women, that they should continue with the old guidelines of 40 years old, and in mm-hmm. some cases, even in their 30s. Mm-hmm. And so certainly, race and environmental situations and lifestyle mm-hmm. play a considerable part in mammograms. But certainly that's part of a different discussion, but certainly no less important. William, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Carlene, calling from Northwest Washington. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The question I have is, I've already been tested for the BRCA gene, in which I have an ovarian cancer gene. And I always have biopsies every 6 months because of the condition that I have. So I was asking whether or not should I consider a mastectomy and whether or not the insurance will pay for breast reconstruction.
Right. So that is definitely a part of the recommendation. So if anyone is BRCA positive, do you know if it was BRCA 1 or BRCA 2?
It was BRCA 1.
BRCA 1. So there's a higher risk of breast and ovarian cancer. And do you still have your ovaries, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I had my tubes tied back in November, so they took those out.
Ovaries. Okay, that's good. So that reduces your risk of ovarian cancer.
Right.
Which is a very difficult one to diagnose. So you've done that. And actually, by removing your ovaries, you also reduce your risk of breast cancer because the ovaries produce estrogen, and estrogen can feed some breast cancers. So that was very helpful. But it will be something to discuss with your physician, with your breast surgeon, because that there is that elevated risk for breast cancer. And you've never been diagnosed with cancer? It's just been multiple biopsies?
No, I've never had cancer at all.
Okay, that's excellent news. So it is something that's worth discussing. And every insurance company has different policies. But if you are BRCA positive, it's something that the insurance companies are supposed to consider for you. Mm-hmm. Reconstruction is definitely... It's considered standard of care now for women that are actually diagnosed with a genetic mutation.
Carlene, if I may ask you, and I was going to ask Nicole about this, but since you've been through the process, how did it happen? How did the test go? I mean, how was it administered?
I've always been at high risk because my mother had breast cancer at like 32.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been taking breast mammograms since I was like 35, and I'm present with 48.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, was there a needle? Did they have to take a blood sample? I mean,
oh no. You actually just spit into a tube.
Saliva, right?
Really?
Saliva, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's both. There's blood and saliva now.
So it's painless. And
oh, it's totally painless.
Mm-hmm.
The biopsies are more harmful and painful more than the test itself.
Yeah, I would imagine. So, well,
the genetic test.
Well, Carlene, thank you so much for giving us a call and sharing with us, and certainly good health to you as you, continue to pursue your health options. I really appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about genetic testing, so stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We will still take your phone calls, so give us a call, 202-319-7810. We will be back in just a few seconds.